So we started 2022, the year, with a series, a new series called The Rhythms of Grace, looking at those habits and practices required or necessary for following Jesus, those habits that God uses to produce spiritual growth in our life, grace-driven, spirit-led, spirit-empowered life, obedience. And so far, we've looked at our priorities, we've looked at scripture, we've looked at prayer. Last week, we looked at the need for grace-driven community. And today, we're looking at the rhythm of hospitality, the rhythm of hospitality. Hospitality is often overlooked and underutilized in the Christian life. It is a means of grace. And if what I mean by a means of grace, if you've never heard me explain it, is that it is a normal avenue, channel, or way in which God brings about his empowering presence in his life, in our life, to change us. And so hospitality is a means of grace in this way. As we show or practice or display hospitality towards others, it's a means of God's grace in our life. That is to change us and make us more loving people. But it's also a means of grace in the recipient's life. That is, they get the opportunity to experience God's hospitality of welcoming them into his home or into his house and or experiencing more of Jesus in their lives. And so when you think of hospitality, what comes to your mind? Maybe it's country living. Maybe it's Martha Stewart, not Martha Stewart the prisoner, but Martha Stewart, the expert in all things entertaining and entertainment. Biblical hospitality is not entertaining or not entertainment. Biblical hospitality is something radically different. And today's message is biblical hospitality from Hebrews chapter 13. Verses 1 through 6. So let's listen as Hebrews 13, 1 through 6 is read for us.
Hebrews 13, 1 through 6. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Let your life be free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
So I think it was a year or two ago, I just thought, you know, I want to do a series on hospitality. And so I started, you know, meditating on hospitality. So I got some books on hospitality. And you could do a whole series on hospitality. Actually, we are going to do a whole series on hospitality sometime in the next year or two. So, but we're just going to focus on verses 1 and 2 today. I actually had to cut my message in half on top of that because of Matt's off-script drivel. I'm 8 minutes behind. Before I even started, I'm 8 minutes behind. So I'm going to redeem the time, and we're going till 2 o'clock today. So, just kidding for you online. So we're going to start by looking at the meaning of hospitality. Then we're going to look at the motivation of hospitality. We're going to look at the recipients of hospitality. And then we're going to look at the source of hospitality. And so let's start by looking at the big idea. My big idea is that love demands that we show hospitality. Love demands that we show hospitality. Hospitality. The goal of hospitality is that we in some way, somehow by inviting people into our lives, point them to Jesus so that they experience more depth of Jesus. They taste and see that Jesus is good or that Jesus is better in some way. And so that's why it's a means of grace. But let's start by looking at the meaning of hospitality. The meaning of hospitality. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of hospitality. It's not a spiritual gift, but it's a grace that you have called us to show and to practice as a habit, as a means of grace, not just for our own lives, but the lives of our brothers and sisters and even the stranger. Hospitality doesn't have anything to do with our personality, whether an introvert or an extrovert, whether we have a nice house or we don't have a nice house, whether we have a clean house or a dirty house. Hospitality is about opening up our hearts, opening up our homes with the hope of pointing people to Jesus. And so, Lord, I ask that you would help me to bring clarity to this rhythm of grace, this habit that you're calling us, and that you call us to practice. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at the meaning of hospitality. Hospitality, as I prayed, is hospitality is opening our hearts, opening up our homes in the hope that we point people to Jesus, so that we point others to Jesus. Hospitality is a rhythm of grace. That is, it is a habit. Because it's a habit or it's a practice of grace, because we rely on God's grace to make us different people who love to extend God's grace towards others. See, Christians, because we've experienced, those who follow Jesus Christ, because we've experienced his grace and the transforming power of the gospel, we want to extend that grace and the transforming power of the gospel to others. Hospitality is a means of grace, as I said earlier. It's a means of grace for us when we rely on God's power to free us from our selfishness, from our fear, from our pride of a dirty house, or I'm sorry, of an unclean house, or any other insecurity or reason why we don't show hospitality. And it's a means of grace in other people's life when they see Jesus more clearly as a result of being with us. I remember when we were pastoring in Los Angeles, and Karen and I were shepherding, pastoring this couple who had come to faith. They had a family, and they were struggling financially. They were struggling spiritually. They're just struggling in life. And Karen and I thought about it, we prayed about it, and feeling led of the God, we invited them into our two-bedroom house. There was three people? No, wait, in our family, we had three kids, so there's five of us, and there's five of them in a two-bedroom house, 1,164 square feet. Two bedrooms. One bathroom. We gave them our bedroom, and we slept on the floor in our children's bedroom. And an air mattress that leaked. So every morning we woke up all cuddly in the middle. Which is great for our marriage. And it was also colder on the floor, which forced us to snuggle. So we had another kid during that time. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Stop it. Stop it. So did we have them for 3 or 4 months in our house? 3 months. So we had more intensive discipleship with this couple. We modeled what marriage and what family life was like. We did everything with them. They did everything with us. And after three or four months, they moved back out and they had saved up money. They had a better handle on their spiritual life. They had a better handle on family life. They had a better handle on discipline and parenting. But it was a powerful time because God had called us to do something and we trusted him to do it. And so we experienced God's grace in our own lives, in our own family. We experienced his power. We experienced him conquering our selfishness, conquering our self-centeredness, conquering our wanting our own space for the good of the gospel and the good of this family and the good of the kingdom. And they also experienced God's grace in powerful ways by having more intensive time with us, by seeing us model what it meant to raise kids, pointing them to Jesus, modeling discipline, just modeling discipline in life. And went on and on and on. And so it was, they experienced God's grace as we showed hospitality towards them, and we experienced God's grace as we showed hospitality towards them. Biblical hospitality is also a glad hospitality, or you could say it's a happy hospitality. 1 Peter 4, 9 says, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." Some of you are professionals at grumbling. What he's saying is that show hospitality gladly. Not reluctantly, not because you have to, but because you get to. Christians, followers of Jesus, are glad to show hospitality because there is joy in being conduits of God's grace in the lives of other people. Hospitality is a glad hospitality because we love to feel God's power conquer our selfishness, conquer our pride, and any and every other inadequacy in our lives that we give as an excuse not to show hospitality. Again, hospitality is not entertainment. Hospitality is not trying to impress people that your house is clean, is the cleanest house on the block, or in this home, or in the city, on the dirt road. Or it's not to impress people with your culinary skills. Now, so one of the things that Karen and I regularly go back and forth on is when we have people over, is that she wants it to look super clean. And I'm thinking, you know what? It is awesome for people to see that we're not perfect and that the house is not perfect. I used to clean hospitals for a living. I know what it's like to clean. I used to manage people that cleaned hospitals. I didn't really technically clean the hospital, but I was good at it. And so you know what? So one of the things that I notice is every day we have a dog, and every day I walk down our stairs, and they're oak stairs. We go downstairs, and no matter how, when I cleaned it, it's just like in the hospital, no matter when you cleaned it, there's always dust balls, particularly from dogs. So I will tell Karen, I don't think we should make it perfect because we need people to see that you can have people over despite what your house look like the stage. But you know, I really like these. I don't know whose these are, but these are pretty cool, aren't they? You could take this camping. Hospitality is opening up our heart, opening up our home in the hope of pointing people to Jesus, to experiencing more of Jesus, to experience more of the power of the gospel, to be a salve to wounds and hurts, to bring healing where there's brokenness, to bring love where there's a feeling of not loved, being loved. Hospitality is inviting someone new over for Save You More Pizza because it's cheaper than Fat Olive's pizza or Underground Pizza. Not as good, but cheaper, to make them feel welcome into our church or into our family, or help them get connected to other people that they could relate to. Hospitality is inviting someone who is lonely or is hurting over for coffee so they experience God's love as you talk to them and as you pray for them. Hospitality is inviting a struggling addict over your house because you know if they're alone, they will be drawn into using their drug of choice. And so you invite them over to watch a movie, and you remind them that Jesus is better. Hospitality is opening up our hearts and opening up our homes in the hope of pointing people to Jesus, to experience more of Jesus. And hospitality is not like getting everything ready for a holiday like Christmas or Easter. It's about just welcoming people into our homes as imperfect as they are, as unfinished as they are, as dirty as they are, because hospitality has nothing to do with what's in and around your house. It has everything to do with the atmosphere that you set, because your heart, because you've opened up your heart to them and you've opened up your home to them. So the house doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be finished. It doesn't have to be bigger. It doesn't have to be better. It doesn't have to be clean. It's nice if there's not dirty diapers in the trash can because they smell. So we've looked at the meaning of hospitality. Now let's look at the motivation of hospitality. The motivation of hospitality. The motive for hospitality is love. Hospitality is an expression of love. Listen to these verses. Hebrews 13:1-2, let brotherly love continue. Now that's an imperative. That's a command. So he says, let it continue. Why? Because they're wavering on their commitment to show love to one another because life is full, because life was hard. So then he says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Why does he encourage them not to neglect? Because they were thinking of neglecting it, just like some of them had given up meeting together. Why? Because life was full, because in particular for the Hebrews, they were being persecuted. And so they were holding up by themselves. 1 Peter 4:8 through 10 says, above all, keep loving one another. That's another command. Earnestly, that is strongly, that is with all your strength, because love covers a multitude of sin. That is, love overlooks the sins of others that either irritate you, that frustrate you, or disgust you. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That's an imperative. It's not an option. Then Romans 12, 10, and 13. Love one another with brotherly affection. That's another command. That's verse 10. And then verse 13 is an example of loving one another. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So hospitality is an expression of love. And in the Bible, love is a mark of a Christian. It's like the litmus test. It's like if you are loving, you're a Christian. If you're not loving, you're not a Christian. All of us need to work on being more loving. John 13, 34 and 35 defines love as a characteristic of a disciple, that is a follower of Jesus who's just a Christian. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. That is a sacrificial love. You also are to love one another. By this, that is, by loving one another, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Then 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And then Paul elevates love as this supreme Christian virtue. That is, it's the mark, it is the virtue, it is what characterizes Christians. Paul didn't write 1 Peter, that's why I'm stumbling here for a minute. 1 Peter 1:22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, that he's talking about faith, obedience to faith, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Colossians 1:12-14 says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Be bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive, and above all else, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This is not the kind of love that's produced from within that we can generate, but it comes from drawing near to God, the eternal fountain of love, so that our life overflows with grace-driven, spirit-produced love. Humanity, in general, and Christians also, we have a tendency to limit our responsibilities, limit our effort, and still want to be okay. There was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus and he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life, that is salvation? And Jesus basically said, it boils down to this, loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. The lawyer, knowing that that would be hard, that would be difficult, and wanting to limit who his neighbor was, define it for him to manage, Jesus tells him the story of the Good Samaritan. And the point of the Good Samaritan is that your neighbor is anyone and everyone that comes along your path that has a need. Faith does not limit love towards others, but faith extends and expands love for others, which is impossible and should cause us, drive us to Jesus for grace and strength to be the kind of loving people that he calls us to be. The demand to love others by showing hospitality is for everyone. For those who are messy, for those who are clean. For the introverts, for the extroverts. For the socially awkward or the socially sophisticated. For those whose house is too small, for those whose house is too big. For those whose house is finished, and for those whose house is not finished. For single, for married. For young and for old, hospitality is for all of us to show. So we've looked at the meaning of hospitality. We've looked at the motivation of hospitality. Now let's look at the recipients of hospitality. The passage gives us three categories of people or three groups of people that we're to show hospitality towards. One is the spiritual family. Second of all, the stranger and the oppressed. We don't have time to go through all three, so we're just going to focus on our spiritual family. We see this in verse 1 when he says, let brotherly love continue. That's a command. So it's a command to love our brothers and sisters, to love our spiritual family. Of all the metaphors used to describe the nature of the church, the most frequent one that is used is family. Whether it's calling it the family, calling it brothers and sisters, brethren, it is the most common, most frequent one, the most commonly used metaphor for the church. Because family makes up the most intimate relationships that we can experience, where we can experience the love and the closeness that exists like a family because of the common bond that we have in Jesus Christ. Hospitality is an expression of God's hospitality that he has shown us, that though we were strangers to him, though we were enemies of his, he has invited us, welcomed us into his family, into his household, and to be treated as he treats his own son because of what Jesus has done for us. Hospitality is opening our hearts and opening up our homes in the hope of pointing people to Jesus. So family spends time together. I know what the inside of my siblings, my natural siblings' house looks like, because they're my family and I've been to their house. Does your church family know what your inside of your house looks like? See, if we're family, family spends time together. Family hangs out together. Not everybody, but some of us, many of us, probably more than we're doing now. I don't say that to beat you up. I say that to encourage you. I have been encouraged by thinking, reflecting on hospitality as a means of grace in my own life and a means of grace in the lives of other people. Biblical hospitality is not about personality, connecting with other people that are like you. It's not about who you get along with, or it's not about who has the same hobby horses or who aligns with you theologically. It's about opening up our hearts to our brothers and sisters in Christ, opening up our homes in the hope that because of the time we spend together, they experience Jesus more fully. Francis Chan tells the story of a gang member that became a Christian in his church when he was pastoring in Southern California. And the guy got baptized, and he was at the church every time there was an event, every time the church was open, he was there. For months, he was there. And then all of a sudden, he just dropped out of the radar, dropped off the radar. And no one knew where he was or what happened to him. And then one of the pastors had seen him at a store, at a grocery store, and he asked him what had happened to him. And he said, "When I became a Christian and was baptized, I thought the church was going to become my gang, my family. I didn't realize that church was just about Sunday morning." The church wasn't his family because he was looking for family. When we come to faith in Christ, whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not, you and I become organically connected. People say, "Well, yeah, I'm looking for community," as if there's some ethereal perfection of relationship that I'm just going to be drawn to, like the Borg in Star Trek. Community is cultivated. community is people who are not like one another, who have different ideas, different opinions, different personalities, brought together at the foot of the cross as co-equals, as heirs together, joint heirs together. And it is through rubbing shoulders with people that are unlike you that causes friction, causes irritation, but also is a means of grace to cause spiritual growth in your life. People say sometimes, you know, I'm not going to go to that group, or I'm not going to do that because so-and-so's there, and so-and-so's there, and, you know, they're whatever. Or I'm going to leave that church because that person said this, or that person. Have you ever thought that the very person that creates the most irritation in your life has been put there by God to bring about your growth and patience? They're like that piece of sand in an oyster that's irritating, but over time it creates a pearl. And I know some of you are thinking that my life is so full that to think of inviting somebody over seems overwhelming. And there's other views that don't want to be around other people. You may not need it. You may not want hospitality, but for yourself. But there are brothers and sisters in Christ who desperately need you to be a conduit of grace in their lives. Because see, it's not about you. All the time, it's not just about you. It's about who God has placed in your life to be a conduit of grace for them, to bring healing, to bring wholeness, to bring strength, just so that they're just to feel the love of God with burnt popcorn because it was in the microwave too long. Hospitality is an opportunity to extend, to experience the joy of being conduits of grace, avenues of the Spirit, giving life and refreshment, not just to us, to bring joy to others. So we've looked at the source of hospitality, we looked at the motivation, we looked at the recipients. Now we're going to close briefly with the source of hospitality. We see this in verses 5 and 6. It says, he encourages his readers to love with two promises. The promise of God's presence, that I will never leave you nor forsake you, and the promise of God's help, I am your helper. Now this is tied specifically to being generous, not being caught up with the love of money, but they're all kind of lumped together in the motivation, the encouragement that we have to take risks in loving people and extending hospitality towards people is that God's presence to never leave you nor forsake you. That is, you will be safe in Jesus. And that if you don't feel like you have the resources or the time, the energy, or the talent for hospitality, Jesus says, I am there for you. I will provide for you. So he'll provide for you when you get hurt, when you're disappointed, when you don't feel like you have the emotional energy to help others or to reach out to invite people in your home, or you don't have the financial capabilities. Jesus says, I am there for you. Okay, let's close with our response to God's words. Four points of application, very practical. One, invite someone over to your house this week. Invite somebody over to your house this week. What are you going to do this week? Okay, don't say unless you mean it. Say, I'm going to invite somebody over to my house. Okay, say it. I'm going to invite somebody over to my house this week. You want to invite somebody over to your house this week. Padawan. Invite. That was unscripted. Okay, invite someone to our spiritual family. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? Into our spiritual family. Invite them and even maybe pick them up even. That's a novel idea because there's going to be spiritual warfare. They're going to have doubts. They're going to think, I'm going to go someplace weird. They're going to be weird. Invite them, pick them up, and then take them out to lunch afterwards and ask them about the message. Was that really as bad as you thought? Invite them over your house. Take them out if you've got the money. Third, welcome our family and guests to CCC. You can do this two ways. One is by becoming part of the greeter team, and you can welcome people every Sunday. Yeah, you can welcome every Sunday, or you can draw a 10-foot perimeter circle around your seat that you sit in every week and say, I'm going to introduce myself and welcome everybody within that perimeter. And if you're really gutsy and if you're really risk-taking, move every week into a new spot so that the chairs wear out evenly. And draw a 10-foot circle and say, I'm going to meet everybody I don't know and welcome them to CCC. People tell us that it's kind of ironic. It's kind of funny. It is funny. We have lots of people say that we're the friendliest church they've ever been to. And then I'll also hear, no one ever said anything to me. I said, you must have been a grumbling person. And they just knew, they could feel that you're a grumbling person. So let's close today with worship. As Matt said earlier, because we're going back to the way we used to serve communion with the elements, that it adds time to our service. And I'm already pressed all the time for my time. My time gets stolen from me already. And so we're going every other week between open mic and between communion. And you can pray for us as we kind of sort that out. Because I like doing communion every week, celebrating the Lord's Supper. So and then we'll close with a benediction. I'll break that. Let me just close with two things. Number one is that when I talk about hospitality or relational issues or getting connected to people, you may have experience in church life or just in family of origin where you raised and grew up that your relationships have been so hurtful and so painful that you are afraid to let people in. The only answer to that is for Jesus to bring healing and wholeness to that. But he will generally do it through safe relationships. So at some point, you're going to have to trust him to extend yourself. And if you would like prayer about that particular issue, let me encourage you to come up to the prayer team. The prayer team would love to pray for you. And then let me just encourage you to really, too, invite somebody over this week and make it simple. If you can't brew coffee, and you don't like soda, have people over for water. And buy Jiffy Pop popcorn, do it over the fire, do it over your stove, and if that's too hard, then get the microwave popcorn and don't burn it. But it's simple. Actually, I wanted to provide some, but I didn't have an opportunity to get some. But make it simple, because it's not about the physical presence, but it's about the atmosphere and the relational presence, that relational table that you set for them. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he shine his face upon you, that you may drink richly from the fountain of his grace and his love this week, so that we can be conduits of grace to others as we show hospitality. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. I love you. Have a great week and go in the grace and peace of Christ and in the power of his Spirit.